Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Here's the bad boy from Bayonne.
Chiefs do such a great job of pre-snap movement, shifts, and motions to declare what the defense is doing.
Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes.
What's good, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building. The debut of Players Only is here right now, tonight, and I am absolutely amped up. We were delayed for a few weeks because of the Royals' success, and as many people know, I'm a huge baseball fan, so I was not against any of that. I love the Royals, love what they did, love what they're building, but the delay was a little rough to digest, I will say, because of the success. I feel like it's been forever since I've been on the airwaves to be able to chat with everyone out here and have some guests and have some fun and talk about this third opportunity at a Super Bowl championship. Yes, this is Danon Hughes. Follow me on X/Twitter at DAHughesGuy83. Also on Instagram at Danon Hughes. Again, this is Players Only. We will come to you each and every Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m., to chat it up, chop it up about our Chiefs and things that are going on around the NFL and maybe even around the sports world. So we're not just allocating this time just to talk about the Chiefs. We are a full-service show talking about sports, maybe even some things that are going on in the world outside of sports. The phone lines and text lines are open, 913-586-7965. You are listening to me, and this is my debut not only for the season, but also on 96.5 The Fan. How about being on FM radio and all the exciting news that broke earlier this season? And I've been fortunate enough to be on these airwaves now for 5 years, not just doing Players Only, but also in the booth with Mitch Holthus calling the games each and every Sunday, Monday, or Thursday. Actually, this year we'll play every day but Tuesday due to Christmas holiday, etc. So an exciting time to be in the Chiefs Kingdom, exciting time to be in the booth, and now to be here in the studio for this edition of Players Only. I am really amped up. I am solo here today. There's a lot of great things going on around Kansas City. For any new listeners out there, I usually have another former Chief, a former NFL player, Chiefs ambassador that is in the booth with me or in the studio with me, whether it's Sean Barber, Desmond Moses, Mark Boerichter, Keith Cash, Bill Moss. So I've had several guys that have donned the Chiefs uniform for many years and are still around the Kansas City area. I know there's some huge events. Third and Long Foundation that was first started by the late, great Derek Thomas and now has been taken on by Neil Smith, another great Chiefs Hall of Famer. Just interrupted me as I was chatting it up. Sean Barber coming in the building. He tried to make an appearance, but we know he's just late. That's it. But I will say this. I appreciate you coming in, Barbershop. But as I was mentioning, there's a lot of great things going on around Kansas City, and the Chiefs ambassadors have done an excellent job. And just a history lesson about the Chiefs ambassadors. When I was playing, even before I was playing, the late, great Lamar Hunt and the Hunt family really embraced former Chiefs still being active in the community. Tonight is a Third and Long event at the Grid here in Overland Park, Kansas. And a lot of cats are over there supporting Neil Smith, Miss Betty Brown, and everything that's going on with the Third and Long Foundation. So I wasn't expecting any guests to come in. I was going to be solo, leave it up to Barbershop, my brother, to come in a little bit tardy, but coming in nonetheless, and I appreciate the support, man.
I like the, let's call it a backhanded slap. I come in here to save your butt so you're not, you know, for an hour going solo, trying to listen to yourself think. You know, give you some, you know.
I got my notes here.
You are totally prepared to go solo if needed to. But, hey, man, we know these listeners deserve a duo, dynamic duo, brother. We back again on the saddle, man. Batman and Robin. You Batman, no. I'll be Robin.
All right, Dad. I'm glad you clarified that. Yes, the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7965. Text in, call in. If you know how we roll in this show in the past years, this is the first quarter. We play it just like a game. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. During the second quarter, we got the hot fire, spit fire takes. Third quarter, we'll take the phone lines and texts, tackle them maybe periodically through the show as well. And then in the fourth quarter, we will wrap it up with a Niners preview, a Super Bowl recap, a Super Bowl redo, and we're going to have some fun with it. It's going to be a big game this week. We'll talk more about that. But Barbershop, I'm going to give you the stage, Barbershop.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
A lot has happened in the Chiefs' kingdom since we were last on the air. We were on the air the week before the Super Bowl, and I know a lot gets covered up to the draft, OTAs, preseason, you know, Fesco, Carrington, midday guys, you know, everybody talks about it because we have such a great, great thing going on here in Kansas City. But encapsulate what's happening or what's happened up to this point. What are some of the things that jump out to you that bring us from that Super Bowl championship at Arrowhead West, I mean, in Las Vegas, to where we are now?
Man, I guess the biggest thing would have been back-to-back Super Bowl champions. You got to go back-to-back before you can try to three-peat and do something that's never been done in the history of football. That's probably one of the biggest challenges any coach could lay in front of any team. Let's do something that's never been done before in the history of football. And I think that's pretty much all it needed to get these guys geared up for another offseason. It's amazing how, you know, over the last, you know, 7-8 years, the Chiefs have played probably more football than any other team in that span.
Mm-hmm.
Just this deep runs in the postseason each and every season. Yeah, 3 Super Bowl wins over 5 seasons. But the extra games, eventually these extra games going to end up adding up to an entire new season, extra season, when you talk about wear and tear on people's bodies. And the fact that these guys are acting like Father Time is their best friend, you're not seeing any regression. You're not seeing any kind of sign of old age from some of the savvy veterans on this team. You talk about the offensive side of the ball, Tooney. You talk about Travis. They got some, you know, older guys on that side of the ball. But then on the defense, Chris Jones is one of the
nine years in,
CEO still of Sac Nation. Always answering the toll, and so. Whether it was some contractual things, you know, we had to like move on from Snead. We had to at the time move on from Tyreek Hill, move on from Juju,
Willie Gay Jr.
But you know, Honey Badger. So there's been a revolving door of some different attitudes and talents and characteristics and personalities. But the one thing that I think has been stable here is the leadership. So Andy Reid's voice has been constant. Steve Spagnuolo's voice has been constant. Dave Tobe's voice has been constant. The one voice you know, a little different might be Matt Nagy, but that's a, you know, you can include him to the, you know, let's do it again rebound party when we talk about all the guys that are back in the building, from Juju to Kareem Hunt, Matt Nagy, guys coming back for a second run, Jody Fortson. This guy's going places and realizing, you know what, maybe the grass isn't green at other places. Let me go back to Kansas City and let's get the band back together for one more run at a championship. And I think that's, to me, what has happened over the last, you know, 5 or 6 months preparing for the 2024 season.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You mentioned about the age of this team, and you know, I'll go to your side of the football on the defensive side. Chris Jones, Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi, 9 years, 10 years, 7 years in.
Reed.
Outside of them, Justin Reed, 7 years as well. Outside of those guys, it's amazing to me that we're sitting where we're sitting And the fans should like relish at this point. We got second year and third year guys that have played, like you said, the extended seasons that to the point where maybe a second year guy has not played a full three seasons, but 2.5 seasons of actually being on the field and playing. Not, you know, when I came into the league, I was on practice squad for the first 10 games of my rookie year, and then I got activated. You came in the league, relegated to special teams for most of your time, and then got acclimated to being a starter on defense, playing 23, 25 plays a game, the equivalent of what you're on the field for punt return, kick return is not the same as playing 70, 60 plays plus some special teams on defense or offense. And it just tells you about, to me, I think this is a glaring picture of the coaching and the leadership, as you mentioned, not just leadership on the field, but the leadership in the locker room, in the meetings, and even the scouting going all the way up the ladder to Brett Veach and his team. The fact that we can have guys that are looking, I don't want to tag them yet as shutdown corners or a shutdown corner to replace a shutdown corner, but Jalen Watson in his third year, Joshua Williams in his third year, Trent McDuffie in his third year, Nazee Johnson in his third year, George Karloftis in his third year, Nick Bolton just in his fourth year. I mean, we're talking about leaders. Brian Cook in his third year. Yes. Shamari Connor, who you can make an argument is one of the defensive MVPs of this first 5 weeks of the season, or first five games of the season, in his second year. Like, we're talking about young talent that stepped up to become leaders quickly on this team when there are other teams out there, other organizations out there that might not even played these guys. Mm-hmm. They might have played some of these guys as nickel guys or as dime package guys or special teams. And in case of emergency, break glass, we got to put a young guy in there. You've played under Steve Spagnuolo, and the tag with him coming to Kansas City is that he wasn't necessarily a guy that was known for playing young talent immediately.
Yeah.
And he's come around to recognize the talent that changes. Like, he's been in the league for decades, and that was his tag coming in, and quickly he's flipped the script to know, hey, these young guys, these young cats, these young Thundercats out here can do some damage to the point of being not just serviceable players on a championship caliber team, but being dominant players on a championship team. And to me, that can't be understated, that although we have some of those older guys, like you said, Joe Tooney, Travis Kelce, on the offensive side, and then the men that I mentioned on the defensive side, like we got guys that are young, gifted, talented, hungry, still on their first contract, not warranting a whole bunch of money. And although there have been teams that have had some success by going the way of free agency and spending a lot of money, there's a lot of teams that fail. Look at the one down in Dallas that fail at spending a lot of money and not getting the results. We're getting the results from like bottom wage guys because we drafted them and had the confidence in them, and they garnered the confidence to get on the field and do work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation about the amount of credit you have to almost split between our coaches of understanding who's in the building and then our the general manager, Brett Veach, and his crew, how to keep for keeping those cabinets full of young budding stars that have a certain skill level at exactly what these coaches are looking for to play certain positions in certain points of the game. So, I mean, you know, skills levels go up and down. When guys come out of college, you don't really know when guys are in college what they're being coached to do. So you're watching film and it's like, all right, does this guy got great technique, or is he just being coached to be instinctive? Mm-hmm. Is he playing with his instincts, or is he being, putting in situations just to be super successful? It's not until they actually, you get them on your field and you get them in the meeting room and you start watching, how do they process when we install defense? What questions are they asking? How are they filtering film study? And what questions are coming up when we go to the practice field, when we shift in motion? Is the linebacker looking back for the safety for, you know, having some reassurance of what he's supposed to do? Or is he a guy who keeps his eyes locked in on what he's, because he knows his job, he knows exactly what he's doing? So these kind of personalities and characteristics are something that we see we're seeing over and over again. It's like it's a certain demeanor that guys are coming in the building understanding that no matter where you've been or what other teams you've been, when you come here, it's an expectation that you're going to spend part of the offseason down in Texas
with
in
Patrick.
Pat camp.
Yep.
Right. In Pat's camp. And it's there's no level of Pro Bowl or no level of skill level.
Individuality or anything like that. Yep.
That keeps you from understanding, no, that's just what we do.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side of the ball, the communication and the trust that you see happen on the back end from our safeties and corners, I mean, it's something that keeps them, when you talk about how do young guys get on the field early, well, it's if the coordinator can trust that you know alignment, assignment, responsibility, you know the signals, you know the packages. You know that when they go from pro to trips, trips to slot formation, and we go in and out of coverages, you're in the right position. You know your leverage. You know where your help is. And then when it's time to go make plays, you're a playmaker.
Yeah.
Once you show a coach you got those things, there is no more you're first year, second year. Those things are no longer even accounted in the season. It's about you being an asset to this team, to be a difference maker and a playmaker. And you're expected to go out there and do it at a very high level.
Yeah, and just to put this in regular terms for all the listeners out there, it's just like a corporation. I know sometimes we like to minimize sports and professional sports, whether it's through ego, whether it's through envy or jealousy. We minimize professional sports and we act like it's just a game, like it's just high school or Pop Warner or whatever else. These are grown men with their own lives, with their own families, with their own dynamics, with their own issues, and yet they come together for a common cause. And I'm sure I've worked in the corporate world for 25 plus years. You're working in the corporate world with the McGinnis Group, doing great things there. We can each attest to circumstances and situations, whether it's in the past or currently, where we worked with people that they obviously didn't dot their I's and cross their T's for the betterment of the company or the betterment of the team. I'm sure there are listeners out there that can do the same. We're fortunate that on this team and this organization with a bunch of mid-20-year-olds that they have all bought in and bit into the same fruit for the greater cause. And I think that's something that we should applaud more than criticize at times. There's nothing to criticize at 5-0. There's things to be concerned about. We'll talk more about where this team is, get some hot fire, spitfire takes, see if Barbershop came in here on a surprise tip. Let's see if he's going to surprise me and Julio with some hot fire, spitfire takes. We're going to get to that next segment. Remember, the phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965.
Oh, and he gets buried. He gets destroyed by Sean Barber. Y'all better get ready to rumble. Cats gonna run like a jumbo. Spicy like gumbo. Spice on that gumbo. Maddox throws over the middle, intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. Picked off by Sean Barber. You really probably
can see me with a bird's eye. All right, we are back. Players only. My man Barbershop in the building. Sean Barber, former linebacker with the Chiefs, Texans, Eagles, Commanders, and I am Danon Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter /X at DAHughesGuy83, on Instagram at Danon Hughes. Phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965, and we are in the second quarter of the debut show of 2024. Players Only is back each and every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m., as we continue on this road to a three-peat. Barbershop, you know we've been together, 4 years now on this show, off and on. Joe Mays, our brother, was on, you know, way back in the day. We appreciate him and everything he's done and back with the Leia Center downtown.
Yes.
But the second quarter, you know what it is. It's the hot fire, spit fire take. And now that I know you came in here, you surprised us with your presence. I want to see if you surprise us with a hot fire take right now. Julio with the Tulio is back there. He is the ultimate teacher, the grader.
Yeah.
And you know his he don't grade on a curve.
No,
so,
man.
I know
he got an itchy trigger finger when it comes to that bomb, bomb, womp. I know that. I know he always been so you know what? We've been gone a little bit. So Listen.
And you know, defensive guys, they're not as sharp as offensive guys. So
listen here. Hot fire, spit take of the week, of the year, right now. Listen, the NFL opens up a trade deadline. I think it's not until weeks 10, weeks 11. But guess what? Somebody jumped the gun because, man, Devontae Adams is now a New York Jet. Can he save the Jets from being a dumpster fire? The New York Jets is the AFC version of the Dallas Cowboys right now. But the only difference is that Woody Johnson is willing to spend some money and push all the chips in because he realized his quarterback don't have multiple years left. The fact that they fired Robert Saleh, man, I think that's embarrassing. But I've heard that like going over to London has been the kiss of death. Back in 14, there was a team that got rid of their coach when they came back. And then the Raiders got rid of their coach in like 15. And then Robert Saleh gets rid of their coach this year. Man, Doug Peterson, he's playing on Sunday morning out in London after getting beat by the Bears. I got a feeling if the Jacksonville Jaguars don't show some more spunk, show some more purpose, show like they actually are out there practicing and being coached up, Doug Peterson could be the next person to bite the bullet when you talk about coaches on the hot seat getting fired. So and my prediction is that the Jacksonville Jaguars lose Sunday morning, and that Doug Peterson is the next NFL coach to be asked not to to turn in his key card.
Turn in his key card?
Turn in your key card.
He'll at least be able to fly back with the team, though.
I mean,
not catch a commercial flight.
I don't know. Jacksonville, man, it's been bad. So some of the trades, I just think there's been some trade talks going on. Obviously, everybody wants to know Amari Cooper ends up going to the Bills. Like, the Bills had Stephon Diggs. Amari Cooper, to me, is almost like a poor man Stephon Diggs. Yeah. So, like, if they can't beat the Chiefs with the team they already had together, I don't think that it makes them any more of a threat, less of a threat. It does make them better this year. But they give away future assets, future trade draft picks in order to get the services of Amari Cooper. The last trade we saw was Cam Akers. I mean, it's an NFC trade, so we don't even got to talk about that. Yeah. But leaving the Texans, I think, and going to the Vikings, back to the Vikings, Cam Akers. But the Jets trade is the one, because I do have a lot of respect for Devontae Adams. He is one of my top three all time in route running. I think he's always open because he runs such precise routes.
Oh, yeah.
And you put him with an accurate quarterback, it's going to be a nightmare for Jets opponents. But I don't know if they waited too long to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Oh. Julio, I think you're being nice, Julio. I want to hear from the text line, 913-586-7965. I think Julio was being nice because Julio, you came in.
No, that because it had layers to it. I kind of
it was really long winded.
You might say it long. I was like baking a cake. I put the first layer on, and then I had the second layer talking about the coach getting fired. Third layer talking about they got fired because they went to London.
Listeners, if you could see his hand gestures right now,
came back with another
is a temptation. Yeah,
came back with another layer, and then I ended it up with the trade there. You know, it was a
all right. Let me get to mine. Can I get to mine? Dang, defense always trying to take over for the offense. All right, here's my hot fire, spitfire take. I got two of them, Barbershop.
All right.
Should I save one for next week?
I mean, that's what you should do, but okay, I can't tell you how to run your own show.
All right, I'm going to go for the first one. All right, Nick Sirianni, the Philadelphia Eagles, talk of the fans.
I like this already.
All right, so all the backlash for all the listeners out there, if you don't know, if you hadn't seen it on ESPN, he goes and he talks trash to the fans. It's actually his fans. They're winning the game. And he goes and talks to the fans in that kind of way. Players, I know what you saw with the pundits they're talking about and the reporters talking badly about Nick Sirianni, what he shouldn't do, what may look bad for the organization, what is beneath that position, etc. Barbershop, you've been in the locker room. You've been on the field. I've been on the field. You saw the faces of the players when he turned around and went to the stands. Yeah, whether it was the opposing fans or his fans, the players were smiling. They were goading him. They were pushing him, prodding him to go and do what he had initially said to them, whispering on the sideline that he was going to go back there and give them the business. players in the locker room, I don't care. I know that there's been other guys that have left the locker room in our position. They are former players. They're on the major networks, and they're talking badly about that. But as a player in that locker room, you love it. You love your coach having the guts to be able to go and confront anybody, whether it's your fans or opposing fans, in that situation, because we as players want to do that. We do it on the field against the opponents. And then going up the tunnel, there are times where we'll start chatting back and joining back with fans. Going out to the buses after the game, there are some players that do that. During the week, there are guys outside of getting a bulletin board material that will talk trash. Some guys have, what do you call, burner accounts on X and social media so they can talk trash to opposing fans or their current fans that are dogging them. So my hot fire, spitfire take is Nick Sirianni did nothing wrong by going to his fans who were goading him, prodding him, trash-talking him, screaming at him. That I'm an East Coast cat. You're an East Coast cat. Whether it's Philly or New York, those people, they come with some fire, but they can appreciate the fact that you spit some fire back at them. I guarantee you the people on TV are more offended by what Nick Sirianni did than the actual people he spoke to in that stadium. I bet they went back home was like, yes, we got his attention, and he came back at us with some fire, and we love him even more because he didn't just brush us off, that he embraced it and came back with some trash talk. Julio, we got to go to break on that. We got to have a private meeting.
That was great, man. Listen, Julio was just being honest, bro. Like
you must have paid. The reason why you were late, you paid him off. You slipped some money under the door of the booth back there.
Whoa, why are you trying to, me and Julio's, you trying
you
to insult
You are besmirching my name.
You're trying to insult
I want to hear from
integrity.
The text line, 913-586-7965. The phone lines are open as well. I am thoroughly disappointed. I need a halftime break.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
Halftime's over. We've had our drinks, a little spark, a little sugar to get through the rest of this show. Barbershop is in the building. Sean Barber and I am Danan Hughes, back with the third quarter of the show. I feel like my hot fire, spitfire take for next week is going to be Julio's music from this week. I need a full week to digest how I get the want, want, want on that take. I felt like that was one of my strongest takes ever. But I'm not gonna hold it against you, Julio. We're all good. You're my brother. No matter what.
Brother from another mother.
But what I do know is that Barbershop had to have paid you off. But Julio, we got the text line, the phone line open, 913-586-7965. Somebody from the 816 said Julio's theme song is the Rude Boys written all over your face.
Rude Boy.
What y'all know about that? That is not the music for Rude Boys and written all over your face.
I don't even know what song that is.
I know that song. That's not it.
Rude Boy.
No.
Don't never place the word.
I don't want to sing on the air because I don't want to have to change my career.
I don't know about
that. Because I think there's some producers listening that might like my voice. So.
Put you on the voice. Snoop Dogg. Get a Snoop Dogg change
Snoop,
on the voice.
Snoop D-O-double-G. All right, we got Dan on line one. Dan, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Dane. Hey, Sean. How you doing? Yeah, it was a great game by the Chiefs. Yeah, it was a great game by Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster. I enjoyed myself at the championship parade last year, but I was real bitter about I didn't know what happened afterward until I heard what happened. It was just unbelievable. Lisa Lopez, you know, God rest her and her family. I'm glad they prosecuted those kids. So I'm glad that, you know, they really did, you know, good job, the police, and, you know, it took care of the situation. So let's take care of the 49ers. And I agree with you, Dane. I think that Nick Sirianni wasn't wrong, you know, because they won the game, you know. And, you know, a win is a win. So, you know, and what do you think of Devontae Adams? I'm not a Jets fan. So what do you think? Do you think he'll work out with the Jets? Take care of yourself.
Appreciate you, Dan. Dan, I talk about being at halftime and us getting that infusion of energy to get through the rest of the show. And I was dismissive on Dan because Dan is the actual Red Bull of this show. He comes correct, a loyal listener that comes correct every single time we're on the air. I appreciate you, Dan. You definitely have that infusion of energy. He talked about Miss Lopez that passed away, Galvan that passed away from the shooting at the parade. You know, giving respect to their family and then also the acknowledgement of the prosecution of all those that were involved, and then fast forwarding to where we are now. So in the theme of this show, the opening show of the season, Dan just encapsulated everything or a lot of what's happened from back in February all the way now. And I appreciate that acknowledgement, Dan. We appreciate you. Going back to the text line, Barbershop from the 816, will MVS be on the roster within the next 24 hours or no?
No.
Yeah.
N-O, and that's a complete sentence. I learned that from the women. My daughter and my wife both told me no is a complete sentence.
A yes or no question warrants a yes or no answer, and that is a sentence. I agree. Doesn't need extra. You don't need to dance around it. Just yes or no.
Yeah, just no.
Yeah. So I will expound upon it a little bit. I don't believe MVS will be back on this roster. I think we've struck gold by being able to go to the well and get guys like Kareem Hunt and Jody Fortson and Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman, who left for what you said, like, as you mentioned, better what they thought was going to be greener pastures, and now are back and contributing. I just don't see, unless we sustain another injury on the offensive side, specifically a wide receiver, and you think that MVS can be a serviceable veteran to come in and affect the locker room and be serviceable on the field in 10 to 15 plays a game, and you think he could be a guy because he's familiar with the offense, then maybe. But outside of an injury, I just don't see that happening.
No. Yeah, and I don't know if his skill sets bring anything to the wide receiver room besides him just having a knowledge of the offense.
Yeah. Like,
I think we have enough guys that know the system, and we have guys that actually on the practice squad. I think I'd be more excited. I'd be more excited to see what Nico Remigio. I would be more excited to see him on the field to see what he actually can do during the regular season than I would, because I think we already know what we have in MBS, and I just don't think that really moves the needle that much.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that begs the question in regards to the free agency. I know we talked about that a little bit earlier, but to me, let's say we went after Amari Cooper, or we went after DeAndre Hopkins or Devontae Adams or whomever were the big name guys, the bright shiny coins out there at wide receiver. To me, based on the fact that we just had the bye week. Now, if the bye week was in week 10, 11, 12, like it's been over the past few years, maybe I would have a different take. But being that we've just gotten through the bye week, we have, without the number one seed, we have 15 straight weeks of football to play.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in somebody who is absolutely not familiar with this offense, with this organization at this time, and hoping that they would get up to speed, what, 3 weeks, four weeks, yeah, maybe?
Best case scenario.
Would you be better served by giving those 10 to 15 plays of offense to a guy like Nico Remigio or Justin Ross or Mecole Hardman or whomever, given the circumstance of us being healthy across the board, would by the end of the season, would you have garnered more production based on their relationship with Patrick, the trust that he's garnered with them being guys that have gone down to Texas and worked with him since the offseason, et cetera? Like, I would be on the school of thought that we would fare better with those guys at towards the end of the season than we would with a new guy, regardless of the level of play or abilities that those new guys have.
And worrying about, like, how does that personality fit into your locker room?
Yeah.
Like, that's a new personality coming. Mm-hmm. And is that receiver going to demand 12 targets a game, 11? And of those targets, who are those targets getting taken away from?
Yeah.
Because if I'm a Justin Watson or if I'm like, you know, Miko, like man, I've kind of been here busting my butt.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an opportunity for somebody to get some extra targets, like, it probably should belong and go to the guys that have been already sacrificing, right?
And the thing is, also, there are some guys out there, and even Josh Allen talked about it, you know, tongue-in-cheek about Stephon Diggs. There are some guys out there that won't be – they might be great on the field, but they're only great when they get 10-plus targets.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not have that demeanor in the locker room. They may not be the veteran presence that you would want that's going to help build up the other guys around them and be a serviceable player. I think part of the reason that Davante Adams, I love him as one of the best route runners ever. I love him as a great receiver. But I'd have to think there was some dynamic within that locker room that whether he quit on plays, he's talked about getting hit. You saw on the receiver on Netflix, he said he made comments about, I haven't gotten hit this much in my entire career. So you wonder the demeanor about that in the locker room, and was that going to be contagious in a negative way? If you bring one of those big name guys in now and he's not immediately getting the targets that he warranted at another place, how's that going to affect everybody else in the continuity of the team? So, yeah, there's a dynamic there from a business standpoint, but also just a mesh standpoint as well. Going back to, we got a couple more texts. The crew from the 417, the crew at Mama Loca's. Shout out to Mama Loca's. Is so glad the show returns. You and Barbara do a show that could put up against any show anywhere. Thanks for returning. We appreciate you, Mark. We appreciate the acknowledgement.
Mama Loco's?
Yeah, Mama Loca in the house.
I gotta Google that and put that on my restaurants to go visit.
There you go.
Mama Loco's.
There you go. Yeah, and we got 913. Veach is nailing it. Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely he is. There's somebody from the 913 barbershop that needs your autograph.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know why, but from the 913, KC has mental confidence flourish in close games. That is absolutely correct. There is an art to winning close games. Several teams around the league, there'd be a guy, the previous coach of the Chargers, Brendan Staley, who would still be employed as a head coach in the NFL with the Chargers if he knew how to win close games. There's an art to it, and we are very fortunate around the Chiefs Kingdom that we're experiencing greatness. But also, when we're not playing great football, we still figure out ways to win. That's why we're 5-0, and we should all be proud of that and not necessarily look to nitpick everything where we are now going into week 7. Like, there are teams out there that have played their absolute best football, offense, defense, and special teams, and they are not 5-0. We are still scratching the surface, and we still have some upward movement on each side of the ball as well as special teams, and that should make us amped and not critical. All right, when we come back, the fourth quarter of the show, we got to do a preview of the Niners. I want to hear what Barbershop thinks about this matchup. A lot of emotion goes into playing against a team that you lost to on the biggest stage, not once, but twice during the Super Bowl run. We're going to tackle it next.
Bad boy. Oh, hold on.
I don't know if we're supposed to be playing this.
Hold on.
Julio, he didn't get the memo, Julio.
Oh.
Cut.
Yeah, fade that out. Fade that out. We
are back, players only. Got a lot of internal jokes going on here. A lot of challenging circumstances, man. But we're having a lot of fun. I am Danon Hughes, my guest in studio, partner in crime, Sean Barber, a.k.a. Barbershop. Fourth quarter of the show, Barbershop. We got about 7 minutes or so to talk about these Niners. Before we do, I see the text line from 816 still trying to get my Danon Hughes four sport. I don't know four sport. It usually says two sport autograph card. Get it signed. Yeah, you can send it in here to Odyssey. I'll get it. I'll sign it. I'll be outside by the Arrowhead or around town. You follow me on social media at Dane and Hughes on Instagram or DAHughesGuy83 on X/Twitter. I usually promote where I'm going to be or there's promotions out there and be happy to sign that. That'd be cool. Yeah.
And 96.5 The Fan has me doing Buffalo Wild Wings promos throughout the season on Friday night. So if you get on the webpage, look at the upcoming The Fan Show. It's me and Mitch.
And Binkley.
The three of us, we kind of rotate who's hosting and who's the guest on the show. But between me and Mitch Schwartz, we'll be at different Buffalo Wild Wings around the KC metro area. So yeah.
Mitch and Binkley will be out at 137th in Overland Park tomorrow. It'll probably be one of the better shows of the season because Mitch is an offensive guy. And Barbershop, you won't be there. So
you know what? I might crash that show just like I crashed this show tonight. So might go back to back, like the Chiefs, back to back.
Back to back. All right, Barbershop, Niners, we got them this week. I spoke earlier on the midday show about the dynamic and the emotions of playing against a team that ended your season, literally ended the season for the Niners. And playing them during the regular season the next year and the emotions that are involved. What's your assessment of this matchup in week 7?
I mean, I got to say, if you're going down the ticker tape, you know, the tail of the, like a boxing match, you're saying, you know, who's offense better? Who's quarterback's better? You go position by position, you go coaching, you go, you know, on intangibles and all that. I mean, I would say because it's a home game, it's at the 49ers. I got to believe the chip on their shoulder has to be so big right now. Mm-hmm. Like you said, not just losing at the end, not just in the playoffs, losing two Super Bowls. Like the difference between us being champions and that is between us and the Kansas City Chiefs. And in both games, we had the lead.
Double digit.
We had big leads.
Double
digit.
And
we couldn't hold them off. We could not hold Patrick and crew off. We could not hold, we couldn't hold a fort, man. We just couldn't do it. And to have to kind of live with that, and the only thing that can make it feel any better is in week 7 to be able to, you know, have a little bit of a
retribution.
Yeah. This something. I mean, I got to believe if you're in that locker room, no matter if you're new to the locker room, I mean, it's just they've got to have been practicing and preparing for this game. I got to believe a couple of training camp practices were kind of, hey, we're gonna prepare for the Chiefs today. Like,
they gotta prepare for how to decide the coin toss. They have to prepare for that
again. Just in preparation, like all that stuff, all those jokes and everything. It boils over, man. You got to be so frustrated and almost obsessed with what's going on in Kansas City. Honestly, some of the losses to us in the postseason might have led to this team being 3-3.
Yeah,
some of their inability to remain focused for four quarters might be because in the back of their mind, the Kansas City Chiefs are like renting out free property.
Yeah, we broke them.
There's brain cells being being rented out, and there's space in each player's mind where the Chiefs are just pitching a tent, holding camp, and that's just not a good place to be in as a football player, because if you're not focused on each and every game, you lose games, and I think they have lost a few close games. If you ask me honestly, I think that they probably should be 5-1 at this point.
Yep.
If they have just finished off the games they had control over. So it should be like a 5-1 team going against a 5-0 team. So them being favored, I mean, Vegas has them favored by, I think, 2 points now, 2.5 or something like that.
Which is crazy. 5-0 versus 3-3. I definitely, and I said this earlier, Barbershop, that whole adage of you are what your record says you are, I never believed that.
No.
I think there are teams that are better than their record. They are definitely better than 3-3. But having said that, being 3-3, going against a 5-0, defending two-time Super Bowl champs that beat you in one of those Super Bowls.
We've beaten them 4 out of 5 times. The last time we lost to them is 2014.
Yeah, 2014. We've won 6 of the last 10 times. 7 of the last 10 times we've played them.
Mm.
And I feel like this is a winnable game for us. Coming after a bye, I would hate to be a team that faces Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And this is a winnable game. And it's a statement game, although for them, very emotional. But if we can withstand that wave of emotions to start the game, we'll be in good shape. We'll be back here next week to talk about this Chiefs team. being 6-0 to start the season. I don't think anybody in the Chiefs kingdom would have thought it, but here we are now. We got to love it. Soak it up. It's going to be a long run. 15 more straight weeks to get to the promised land. Let's get it done this week in Santa Clara. For Barbershop, Julio, and I'm Danon. We'll talk to y'all next week on Players Only. Peace.
Purpose, passion, find them.
Save the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
You're listening to Players Only with Danon Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.